Let's get into the Bible, amen? And let's go to, if you find your place, in the book of John, chapter number 10. The book of John, chapter number 10. And I pray that this will be a help and a blessing to you this morning. And, you know, we all go through different things, amen? We all go through different trials. We all go through hard times. We go through things in our life that's sometimes it is unbearable. Sometimes we're not able to handle these things. Sometimes we wonder why we're going through these things. Hey, I got saved. I thought I wasn't supposed to go through this. Hey, I thought it was supposed to be a sunny day every day. I thought the birds would be chirping every day. But folks, it's not always that way, isn't it? There's always times when there's, you know, the devil sure does attack, when the devil sure does get in the way. He starts to hinder things in our life. And so we're going to be talking about some things in that nature this morning. So let's, if you will, let's go ahead and stand in honor and respect out of God's word in John chapter number 10. And if you will, find your place there in the verse number six. It says, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for a privilege to be able to open your Bible. We thank you for the privilege to be able to teach and preach from your Word of God. And we pray now, Father, you help us, Lord, as we look into your Word, and we pray that this will be a help, it will be a blessing. And Lord, I pray, Father, that you strengthen us this morning, and I thank you so very much for Christians to be where they're supposed to. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage them, that you would build them up. And Father, I pray for this ministry. I pray for this church. I pray that they would continue to do what you commanded us to do. And Father, they're doing a wonderful job. And Lord, I do appreciate the ministry. I do appreciate these fine people. And Lord, I pray that you help them. And Lord, but Father, it starts with me. It starts with everyone else individually. And Lord, we thank you. We ask now that you forgive us of our sins. And Lord, we pray now that you help us and you encourage us by your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible says, "I come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." And oftentimes the society overlook life, if you will. They take life for granted. We take life for granted. We don't understand all the things that God has for us. We can't comprehend these things most times. And we overlook God's blessings. We overlook and we take for granted what we call life. I mean, our life in society today is get an extra dollar. Our way of life is get the biggest house, to have the nice cars, and have the stature, have that position. Nothing wrong with those things. I mean, those are all good in time and its place. And if God has blessed you with those things, praise the Lord. I'm not trying to knock on you or any of those things. I'm not saying those things are bad, but it's just the way we look at life. The Bible says that God came that we might have life. They come, they might have life. And God gave us life. God created you and I for a purpose. God created you and created you for a specific time, for a specific place, and for a specific purpose. And I can't tell you what God has for you in your life, but I know what he has for me. It took me 28 years to figure that out. The world beat me up for 28 years, and I had to finally realize the hard way what God wanted me to do. I had to find out the hard way what my will for God's will in my life was. I mean, it took me a long time. But as we look at life, we need to understand how God looks at life, what he's given us. Life is important. Life is precious. Life is just here for a little while. We could be here today, could be gone tomorrow. We don't know that. But every one of us, there's an appointed time that we're going to be going someplace, whether it be heaven, whether it be hell. But I pray it'll be heaven. You have Jesus in your life. And you'll have that opportunity to know Jesus as your Savior this morning. But we're talking about life. God did not create us to be robots. He did not create us just to just to get up every day and to work the 8 to 5 and the same thing over and over and over and over again. Well, that's not the way of the Christian life. The Bible says that he gave us life, but he might, that we might have it, it says, more abundantly. There's more than just life. Hey, there's more than just having a job. There's more than just waking up every day. There's more than just these things we normally do every day. There's more than that. But as a child of God, God gives us life more abundantly. And it's available for every one of us. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's talking about you. Hey, that's talking about me. It's talking about every skin color. It's talking about every background. God is not limited. So God wants us to give us life. But it's up to us to receive it. It's up to us to get this gift, what we call salvation from God. Because life is short. Life is precious. And we only have one shot at life. Folks, understand this. You only have one shot at life. You teenagers, you young kids, listen to me. You only have one shot at life. That's all you get. It's not a video game where you can reset and start over again. It's not push the power and get started and get another shot at it. You get one shot at life. But God wants to give you life. He wants to give it to you more abundantly. But there's some things that we need to consider. There's some things as we become a Christian, as we become a child of God, there's going to be some trials. There's going to be some things that we need to overcome. And every one of us, we're going to be going through a list this morning. And every one of us, I believe, are struggling with some of these as we speak. Because we're not perfect, amen? We struggle. So let's look at some things this morning. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. And 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, let's see what the Word of God says here and how He warns us. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, look in verse number 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And then turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse 26. The Bible says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now we're going to be talking about strongholds in our life, strongholds in your life, strongholds in my life. I'm going to give you some things this morning that I believe we all deal with every day. There's things in our life that we are not able to handle by ourselves, or without me you can do nothing. What God says. So God wants to take these from us. And God wants us to, He wants us to take it from us because we're not able to handle these things. We're not able to understand what's going on in our life. So God wants to take these. So what does He take? So there's some things that we're going to look at this morning. As an individual, we need to really understand that we need revival. We spoke about that this morning just a little bit. Revival, we need revival. Amen. This country needs revival. Our churches need revival. Our families need revival. But you know where it starts? It doesn't start at the church. You know where it starts? It starts with you and me. It starts with us individually. We need to examine ourselves. You need to examine yourself and find out what is hindering your life. What are some things that is hindering your life serving God? What is hindering your life to get in all in? What's holding you back from giving your tithes and getting involved in Faith Promise Missions? What's hindering your life from going out and going door knocking? What's hindering your life from knocking doors and telling people about a Savior, which is Jesus Christ? What's hindering your life from telling your friends, telling your coworkers about Jesus Christ, inviting them to come to church? What's hindering from you doing these things? Why are you so angry all the time? Why are you so frustrated all the time? Why are you so bitter? Why are you so angry? Why are you pointing fingers at this person or that person? Why are you going through these things? We're looking at these things. 7 things we want to give you this morning as we look at strongholds in our life. There are 7 ways, and I believe there's more, but I will give you 7 this morning, and we'll see how far we get in this. There are 7 ways that the devil hinders a real revival in our life. There are 7 things that I believe that really is a big hindrance in our life. And these are known as Satan's strongholds. Every one of us fall in one of these categories. Every one of us, we struggle in one of these areas. And we have been ministering to our people, and it has been a blessing, folks. Not every day is not easy doing that. It's hard doing that. I tell my wife that we are in the process of rewiring our folks, if you will. For so long, their minds have been so messed up. For so long, they've been following the wrong things. They're believing the wrong things. They serve the creature more than the Creator. They are more dependent on the government. They are more dependent on others rather than God. So what are we doing? We're rewiring them. And as we are rewiring them, as we are teaching them, as we are leading them in the right direction, and trying to get them to think right, trying to get them to think as God would say, what does the Bible say about things? And we notice some things in their life. And we didn't anticipate this, but my wife and I have really been doing a lot of counseling, a lot of questions, a lot of issues going on in lives. And these are good folks. And you may look at them and say, hey, there's nothing wrong with them. You may look at a family or an individual or a teenager and say, you know what, they're doing all right. But really, inside they're burning up. Inside they're struggling. Inside they're hurting. Inside there's pain. Inside there's confusion. Inside there's frustration. Inside there's bitterness. Inside there's anger. Inside there's question marks. That explains all that's going on in our society. Our teenagers on the reservation, there was a skyrocketing of suicide. There was skyrocketing of meth use and drug and alcohol use like never before. And there are some strongholds that we are dealing with. And I believe it's not only on the reservation, but it's also here in the United States. It's creeping into our lives. It's creeping into our families. It's creeping into marriages, and it's creeping into the home, and it begins to creep into the church. Number one, greed. Go with me to Mark 10. Mark chapter 10, we're talking about greed. Mark 10, this is a stronghold that the devil often uses, is that of greed. Mark chapter 10, and look in verse 17. Verse 17, we know the story. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came running and kneeling to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Hey, Jesus, I did all these things. I'm all right. I'm good. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor. And thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at the saying and went away grieved, for he had great possession. This young man asked a good question. How can I have eternal life? Jesus said clearly, obey the commandments. He says, I've done that. I've gone to church. I know the songs. I know the hymns, and I pay my tithes, and I sing, and I come to church and all those things. He says, okay. He says, all right then. But one thing that you lack is, I want you to go, I want you to sell everything that you have and give it to the poor. And he said, follow me. Did he do that? No. Greed was in his heart. Greed was in his heart. He said, no, Jesus, this is my life. You don't realize how much money I spent to get this degree. You don't realize how much time and how much effort I put in this. This is my earnings. This is my life. This is my kids. This is my family. This is my time. This is Sunday's only time that I get off. So I'm gonna do my thing. Greed is what was in his life. You see, the devil tells him, tells you, tells me that you don't have time for church. This is your time. Hey, teenager, this is your life. Hey, you live life to the fullest right now. Who cares what your mom says? Who cares what your dad says? Who cares what your pastor says? Well, who cares what your youth pastor says? Who cares what the Bible says? You do everything, you do your way, you do it now. Live life to like there's no tomorrow. Hey, bend the rules a little bit. Hey, do you do your own thing? Greed is what often holds us from having a personal revival in our life. As we hold on to things that are not good for us. God wants to give, he wants to take those from us so we can be humble, so we can make a difference in someone's life. But because of greed, we fail to understand what greed can do in our life. We say, no. I notice what Jesus says. He already knew his heart. Look at verse 21. He says, when Jesus beholding him, loved him. You ever say, hey, you know, I love you, but here's the thing. You're not going to like what I'm going to say to you, but I love you. Greed is a very, very hurtful thing to have in your life, in your heart. Because what you have, what I have, comes from God. Your family, your wonderful kids, your job, your talents, all that you worked hard for, you know that? It's not about you. It's not about me. It's from God. God gave those to you because he loves you. God gave those to you because he cares about you. It is not what we've done, it's what he's done. And when we have greed in our life, when we have greed, that is a stronghold the devil uses. It is, greed means, is an intense selfishness, selfish desires for something, whether it be wealth, whether it be power or stature. This young man, this young rich ruler, had many possessions, but he was not willing to give up those things to live for God. There's some things in your life that you need to give up, and you know what they are, that you need to give up. Those things are hindering your life from making a difference. Those things are hindering your life. It's hindering your marriage. It's hindering your children because this thing of greed. God says, hey, give those things up. They're not good for you. Greed is something that it hurts us. It hurts our families. It hurts an individual. It hurts our churches. He did everything right, but one thing was he was greedy. Number two, bitterness. Bitterness. Now, with our people, we have been dealing with this a lot, is that of bitterness. Our people have been mistreated for so many years that bitterness was just, it was part of their life, if you will. They are resentful against the gospel. Not all of them, but a lot of them are. They believe it is a white man religion. They believe that's not our way of teaching. That's not what grandmother said. That's not what grandmother, grandfather taught us. Is that a bitterness? And this is something that we ought to be careful with. There's a lot of things that can root out this thing of bitterness. There's jealousy. There's hatred that can come from bitterness. Bitterness is anger. It's disappointment. Maybe someone treated you unfairly. We live in a society where people get very offended very easily. But Psalms 119, 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Learning to forgive. Satan was bitter. He uses bitterness to block out the truth of God's love and prevents it from being, from giving us, it prevents God's love for, to affecting our heart, our way of life. Bitterness is very, it's not a good thing. Bitterness. There was a family that we've been helping when we got started. They were just on fire for the Lord, and we've helped them in every way we can. We love them, and they came from a rough background. And there was no daddy in the picture. It was a lady with seven kids all by herself. We've seen this. We knocked on her door. We left the track. She called, and they're doing very well. Doing very good. And we started to notice some things about this family. We approached them in a kind, loving way. And we told her, here's some things that I'm worried about. I see in your life and I see with your kids. I said, let's get this straightened. Let's straighten this thing out before it gets any worse. My wife spent a lot of hours of her time counseling her, one-on-one, giving her some biblical principles about motherhood. And she was taking it in. Everything looked fine on the outside, but one day she blew up on us. One day we were saints, if you will. The next day we were enemies. They said things to us and some mean things to my family, saying how mean we were and how ungrateful we were and how awful we treated them when we bent over backwards for them. When my wife would drive to spend a whole day with her, we would buy them lunch, we go have pizza with them, and we pick them up and do things with them and try to encourage them. We loved on them. We loved the kids. And little boy, he'd come with his little shirt, with his little tie, his bushy hair. And he would say, Pastor, Pastor, I want to be like you, Pastor. That was the sweetest thing. They began to dress nice for church and everything was going well for them. But then the devil got a hold of their heart, twisted it. It hurt my family. It did. It's like grabbing my heart and ripping it out and squishing it. That's how it felt. You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to get angry. Oh, how ungrateful you are. I did this for you. I did that for you. And I could have easily done that, but I didn't. I was careful because I don't want bitterness to come into my heart. It would have affected my relationship with my wife, my family. It would have affected our church. What do? We just loved on them. We call them, encourage them, but they got bitter. They got angry. See, bitterness is a very dangerous thing, folks. If we're not careful, it can sneak into our heart, sneak into our life. It's not a good thing when that happens. The devil often uses that as bitterness. And again, we live in a society where people get very angry, get very offended. I mentioned earlier that our little Janiyah was in the hospital. You've been praying for her. That was a big blessing to us. That really helped us in a time of need. Halfway through that whole ordeal was very hard. Preacher, it was hard. It's something I would never wish on anybody. I would never want to go through that again. We were on deputation and churches were taking us on. Man, it was glorious. Man, we've seen things. We grew up on the reservation. This was going to Albuquerque was like going out of country. You know, it was glorious. And going to the big city was a big deal for us. It was special going to the big city. Because we don't have that out there. But yeah, on deputation, God gave us, you know, He allowed us to see things that we only dreamed about. And we were teaching our kids, man, serving the Lord is good. This is what God does for you when you serve the Lord. Man, we get phone calls. Hey, Brother Nazar, our church voted on to take you on for support. Praise the Lord. Man, we do the math and our support kept getting higher. And 6 months into our deputation, all glory to God, 6 months into our deputation, we were about 50%. And the Lord was being good to us. And we were going to churches, presenting, preaching, and sharing our hearts and everything. And all of a sudden, our little girl gets sick. And we figure, well, really not a big deal. Just a little fever and you know, not a big deal. And now I'm sorry, but something that really bugs me about this was we were in a motel. And this was kind of the beginning stages of her getting sick, and she kept coughing and everything. And I feel stupid for telling you this, but I was so focused on getting my support. I was so focused on doing things right as I present, as I preach. But my little girl is over here getting sick. And I got mad at her. I got upset at her. Things got a little worse, and she turns over. She says, Dad, she starts coughing. Dad, I'm sorry. I won't cough no more, okay? Oh, that did it for me. I realized how serious this was getting. Took her to the hospital, and they rushed her to the nearest children's hospital. We drove from Lubbock, Texas to Tahlequah. And all the way, she was sick, and I was too focused on getting my support, getting selfish. Went to the hospital, and they said, man, this is serious. We need to get her out of here quick. And they took her, transferred her to Tulsa, Oklahoma, the children's hospital, St. Francis Children's Hospital there. And there they... We got her there. We got this. She got there just in time. Because you're saying her body was shutting down. We nearly lost her then. And she fell into a coma. And really, it was really bad. Long story short, we were there 40 days in ICU with Janiyah. And halfway through, I got bitter. And you, the missionary, the Christian, who loves God. And yeah, I got bitter. I told God. I said, God, I don't think you know what's going on here. You see, I gave my life to you. Told that I'll serve you. I've been doing that. You know, I quit my job for this. Grabbed my family and I took them away for what they've known. Did that for you. Gave up my job, okay. Did that for you. Bragged about you. Told people how good you are to me. Did that. Man, I paid my tithes. I did that. Hey, I gave the missions. I did that. Hey, I drove a van for you at the church. I taught the teenagers. I did that for you. I sang the songs. I did the 3-4 pattern, the 4-4 pattern. I did all those things for you. Hey, I knocked on doors for you. Did those things for you. Went all over the country for you. You know what I was doing? I was going this to God. God, how dare you? You know how old she is, God? 6 years old, 4 years old. What has she done to you? What God is she? What does she do to you? She did nothing to you. Man, I got bitter at God. I got angry at God. My wife is just kneeling at the bed, just crying her eyes out, praying to God for a miracle. Doctors would come in and say, doesn't look too good. Doesn't look too good. Look at the x-rays and, Doc, how's it look today, Doc? Too good. Doc, what are you going to do? What are we going to do? We just got to wait. Got to wait. My wife didn't sleep for days and for nights. Didn't eat nothing. I go in the next room. I just put my head on the wall and I say, God, why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing we served you? Bitterness in my heart. That bitterness turned to frustration. That bitterness turned to anger. That bitterness turned to unbelief. That bitterness turned to greed. That bitterness turned to selfishness. That bitterness ate at my heart, tearing me up. Didn't know how to handle it. I didn't know what to do. All I saw was my little girl. My little girl. The last thing she said to me was, Daddy, I'm sorry. I won't cough no more. Oh, that tore me up. My girls went back to Arizona. Just me and my wife there. I didn't know anybody. Yet churches begin to pray. You begin to pray. For nights we pray, we ask God, Lord, oh, tore me up. I don't know how to handle it. He says, you go through life, you don't understand things that go on in your life. You get angry, you get bitter, you want to quit. You blame people. You blame your mom, you blame your dad. You blame your family, you blame everybody else. I learned something. While we were there, we were on our way to preach a revival, and I told the preacher, hey, this is what's going on and with our daughter. And I told God, I said, God, I can't preach. I can't do this. I can't. He said, yes, you are. Because I'm not trying to brag, please. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just telling you what happened. Preacher called and said, let's just call off this revival. And this church was struggling. It was a native church. And he said, let's just call it off and we'll... I said, no, preacher, God wants me to preach it. I don't know why. I don't know what to say. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but he told me to do it. So he took faith. I don't know how I was going to do it, but I just believe God. I did something. Something in me just kept me going. I preached a series of messages on being broken for God. How God has to break you because we get so selfish. Because we get our eyes off of God. We get our eyes and our focus is off of God. It becomes all about us. It becomes about me. It becomes about you. What we want to do. We try to bargain with God. We try to cut a deal with God. I'll do this if I give me this, that kind of thing. But God showed us something. We realized this. My wife said something to me while we were there. She said, honey, if God takes Janiyah, I couldn't even think of it. You put yourself in my shoe. Maybe some of you have been there before. My wife says, if God takes her, because it seemed like it was going to happen. He says, if God takes her, then God takes her. In my life, kind of started to rewind a little bit. When we came to the church and we dedicated God, we dedicated Janiyah to God. We remember that. I said, honey, you know what? Janiyah doesn't belong to us. Janiyah belongs to God. And all this time I was being bitter, I was being angry at God. I went in the next room, I put my face to the floor. I said, God, will you forgive me? And I didn't want to say it. Preach, I didn't want to say it. When I was there, I said, God, if you want to take Janiyah, God, if you want to take Janiyah, that's your will. It's like packing off Janiyah from the bed and saying, okay, if you want to take her, then take her. She doesn't belong to me. She doesn't belong to her. How painful that was. How painful that was. It's hard. But God showed me something through that. And I hope I make it clear to you today of what God's trying to do in your life. That you're hanging on to something. It's not good for you. It doesn't belong to you. That old stinking devil tells you no one cares about you. That old stinking devil tells you that church don't love you. They don't care about you. You're not good enough. You can't serve. You can't give. You're just the same old, same old. I know what you did in your life. I know what you did. You think people will take you seriously? You think God will take you seriously? You think the pastor will take you seriously? You're hanging on to stuff that's not good for you. It's hindering your life. It's hindering this ministry. It's hindering your family. It's hindering your marriage. And as we say, God, if you want to take her, then you take her. We backed off and we were anticipating the worst. I didn't know how we were going to deal with it. I didn't know if we were going to move on. Folks, I'm human just like you. I'm no super Christian or anything like that. As soon as we gave that situation to God, God began to heal Janiyah. It was a miracle of what he did. We started to see improvement in her life and results started getting better. See, what God was doing is breaking me. He was telling me, hey, there's some bitterness I want to get out of you. Hey, there's some things in your heart that you don't see, but I see. You're going around and you're pretending it's okay, but it's not. Somebody put you through a little situation, now I'm going to get it out of you, whether you like it or not, but it's good for you. Because down the road, he says, son, you see the old past Baptist church over here is going to be full with people who are going to turn their back on you. People that you love, people that you care about, they're going to stab you in the back. There's going to be some people that are going to trample on God's name, and you're not going to like it. There's going to be some folks there that are not going to tithe, and it's going to bug you. There's going to be some people who say, I'll be there for soul winning. They're not going to be there. There's going to be some people there that are going to say, hey, I love God, but they don't show it in their life. You'll be going through some situations, so I'm going to help you right here, right now. And I'm going to use what you love most. I'm going to use that so I can prepare you for this. And I believe he did that for a purpose. Not because he's me. No, he's merciful. I was the one who was messed up, not God. And now we're able to start the church and we're dealing with these things now. We're telling people, I know what you feel like. I know it feels like the end of the world. I know it feels like no one understands. No one's getting you. I know what it feels like. It's these strongholds. This bitterness turns to pride. It turns selfish, turns to different things in your life. That wasn't part of the message, but I believe God wanted me to tell you. He just placed me right here in bitterness for some reason. For God knows what he's doing. I'm not sure what's going on in your life, but bitterness can be a dangerous thing. How you handle bitterness, how you handle anger, When you try to do it yourself, it's not going to work out. But I encourage you to give it to the Lord. Give it to God. Because that bitterness will just tear you up inside. It will just eat you alive. Love those around you. Love your pastor. Love your church family. Love your wife. Love your husband. Love your children. Love God. Love the Bible. Love those things because God is trying to show you something. God is trying to tell you something. That bitterness is not good for you. And when we don't listen, sometimes I think he has to go through extreme measures to get our attention. Talking about strongholds in our life. When we don't allow God to control our life. Rather than, Lord, what will you have me to do? It's the Lord, what I want to do. Church doesn't need to tell me what to do. That pastor didn't tell me what to do. I'll live my own life. Control. Stronghold. Bitterness, it leads to this unbelief. Not believing, not trusting, doubt. This stronghold is the most effective tool that devil uses on us. Not believing that God loves you. Not believing that God can do anything with you. Folks, if God can use this old Navajo boy from an Indian reservation, he can use someone like me, a sorry guy like me. I know I'm nothing special. You can ask my wife. You can ask my kids. If God can use someone like me who wasted 28 years of my life on the world, drugs and alcohol, all that dumb stuff, but he yet turned my life around. Only God can do that. Don't think that God can't use you. It's what we call unbelief. You listen to the devil, and everything else stacks up after that. Bitterness, anger, doubt. Your relationship becomes a religion.